You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wonderful, majestic world around us. It's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
This week for Dear Science, we are joined by Joel Rindelab. Good afternoon.
Kia ora, it's been a while.
It has been a while, and you're here to talk about all matters science, as always, for this segment. I guess it's not unusual that we'd be talking about science at all.
No, science is cool. You should be talking about it more, in my
opinion. Yeah, and we've got, starting off with one of the best parts of science, at least to me, fungi. Fungi. I love mushrooms. Not in like
no way.
The...
I never could have told.
Not in like the I love mushrooms way, but like in just they're funny little creatures. And how are they recognizing patterns?
Fungi, yes. I also like fungi because they're wild for the most part. Mm. And well, this study that was recently published in actually this month, December 2024.
Ooh, recent work.
Hot off the press here in the journal Fungal Ecology. It kind of challenges, I guess, what we think about when it comes to intelligence, because humans, we know we're pretty darn smart.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But what about other species? So I'll give you an example. I love talking about animals on this show. And so when we think about brain size, right, the commonly belief is that, hey, the bigger the brain, the smarter someone is.
Yeah.
But things like bees. Bees are tiny, but they can do simple arithmetic. They can communicate tasks and solve problems. Bees, right? They're tiny.
Yeah. Little so tiny, it's stupid not necessarily bee brains, right? Brain size here. We're talking about other things, perhaps.
Yeah, so there's other things at play here. And so one thing that we don't, you know, even kind of understand is, what if it doesn't have a brain? Like fungi. Can it actually have some awareness of its surroundings or even a memory?
Yeah. And do they?
Perhaps.
Mm.
Perhaps. So I'll talk about this study where they basically tested the spatial recognition of fungi. And so what they did is they put some fungi in some soil, and then they had two different patterns of wood on the soil. So the fungi that they put in the soil likes to eat wood. So basically it put food in the area. So they had it in two shapes. One was a circle. So you put the fungi in the center of the circle with wood around it. And the other one was like a cross.
Mm.
A cross. And what they found is that the fungi went in, had different patterns of growth.
Mm.
So if there was no intelligence or communication within that quote-unquote neural network of the fungi, you would expect it, it just to kind of go out in the same direction, regardless of what the structure is. So think of it as if you're dropping like a droplet on a piece of paper.
Right.
That droplet's just going to hit it and just diffuse out.
Just spread out, right. No real direction or strategy there, just going.
Exactly. But what happened with the fungi is that there seemed to be a strategy involved, as you mentioned. So with the cross, there was actually more fungi that were had more density at like the outer regions of the cross. So what researchers believe that might be like an outpost that could be like for further foraging.
Oh.
While in the circle, there was nothing in the middle. It was just fungi that grew around the wood blocks that were in that circle. And so there was actually nothing in the middle. So researchers think, well, hey, maybe they just didn't want to overextend themselves in an already well-populated area. So a different type of strategy.
But yeah, that's really interesting. So maybe we'll see fungi... maybe taking some of our jobs in the future, recognizing patterns. Anyone whose job differentiating circles and crosses, watch out.
But true. They might be great at tic-tac-toe.
Mm-hmm. And then trees, making us feel better. I mean, trees already, you know, seeing trees around make us feel pretty good, right? But turns out there's also some science there.
Yeah, so we're gonna stick with things that grow in soil.
Mm.
And as you mentioned, we already know trees make people happy. They're like stress levels are much more decreased. People report a better sense of well-being when exposed to more or less trees.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah, I love seeing a tree, right? I couldn't live in a place with less trees, in fact.
Yes.
This is like the perfect country for me. They're everywhere. It's great.
I remember flying to LA one time, getting off the airplane and just having culture shock because it's just all concrete coming
No trees at all. And turns out they'll be missing out, right, on some health benefits here.
Exactly. So what the researchers from Louisville, Kentucky wanted to test is what happens to people, like, because we know that people report better well-being, but we want quantitative data. Yeah. We're science nerds, all right? So what they did is they did blood tests in the population to look at a biomarker of inflammation, this high-sensitivity C-reactive protein. So they would do a blood test to see if there was any markers of inflammation, and they tested people for like 3 years, and then they planted trees.
So a bit of change there, perhaps. Yeah. And what did the trees do?
So they planted 8,000 mature trees in one area, and then, well, it was over 16 different areas, and then there's also the control side where they didn't get trees.
No, like, trees, yep.
Sorry, bummer, dude.
Yeah. Still living in concrete hell.
Yeah. And so what they found is where they actually built the trees, they went back and they tested everyone's blood again for this biomarker of inflammation and found that it had decreased by 13%, a statistically significant amount.
So those of us seeing lots of inflammation, maybe look for more trees. Spend some time in the bush.
Get out into that bush.
Yes, yeah. And if you're spending too much time at home, watch out for inflammation. I guess the same could be true both ways. And then lastly here, you've got stuff about giving good gifts. Is there a science behind gift giving that we're missing out on?
There is a lot of science, probably more science than I'm comfortable with, into buying things and giving gifts, yes.
I mean, I suppose that makes sense, right? We've got lots of room for buying and marketing, that sort of thing. Gifts seem like the perfect time to really, it's the perfect spot to really do that investigation.
Absolutely. And so gift giving season is upon us. Are you much of a gift giver yourself?
I love giving gifts. It's one of my favorite things to do, other than receiving gifts, really.
Wow. Wow, the tag team right there.
Yeah. So how should we give good gifts?
Well, so this was a review article that was published earlier this year from the Journal of Consumer Psychology. And basically, they wanted to look at what people appreciated overall in gifts compared to societal norms. So I'll give you an example. People, when they present their gift, wrapping paper, that's a pretty big deal. People want their gift to look good. But the data suggests that the wrapping paper doesn't really matter as much as we think it does.
Interesting. Because I think wrapping paper, that's something fundamental to a good gift given, right? If I was given just a gift, no wrapping paper, I'd be a little bit bummed, I think.
Well, think of it this way. Let's say someone had $50 to spend on your gift, like big spender here.
Yeah, big 50.
Let's say they had the choice of either spending 50 on the gift or 40 plus 10 on wrapping.
So it's a bit of a conflict there.
Yeah, I mean, I would much rather have a block of Whitakers than a wrapped up Cadbury.
Yes, I think we can all agree on that. Well, maybe not all of us, but some of us.
Well, there might be a few sickos over there.
Yeah. And then have we got any more about gifts?
Yes, we do. So wrapping paper might not hit as much as we want it to. Things that, again, societal norms, when you want to give someone a gift, we want it to be a complete gift, like maybe a whole microphone set or a dinner plate set. Turns out partial gifts, okay. If you just gave part of that set, people seem to be just as happy.
Interesting, because that feels to me like giving someone a job, right? I've given you now a task to complete as opposed to part of a set, but I suppose maybe not. Maybe I'm happy. We all love completing little tasks.
Yes. So, and of course, it's important to make sure that the gift does have some sort of practicality to it, like novelty gifts and surprises. People like to do that, but they're less well-received, more or less. And another thing that people don't think about is experiences, right? Instead of a lot of materialistic items. People underappreciate how experiences are valued by the person that receives the gift.
Yeah, and so if we're thinking experience, that might be tickets, that sort of thing, or like a booking for some sort of restaurant, maybe,
yes, or
massage, whatever.
a walk out in the bush. Just the two of you.
Wow. So really, the range of gifts. We're not even purchasing here now. We're focusing on social time.
Exactly.
A beautiful gift in itself. There.
Yes, and if you do have someone in your life that is hard to buy gifts for, turns out they might just not be happy no matter what you get them. So the thing is, what research has shown is if you give them like a random gift in March that's less expensive than a fancy one over the holiday season, that actually could have more weight.
Wow, so we've got some interesting data here. And that's, I guess, is that all we have to learn about the word of gift? I mean, I suppose there's a lot more out there, right?
There's a lot more out there, and I encourage everyone to experiment and get their own data.
Yeah, experiment, get your own data, and also get your own gifts, right? We're closing in on Christmas. You better have at least thought about it, right?
I haven't.
Oh, it's a bit worrying. But all those listeners out there, start thinking about the gifts you're going to get for your loved ones over this Christmas period, and maybe sprinkle in a little bit of science as you do. Think about all the science that you could be employing. Think about what's worked in the past. Think about what hasn't. And maybe do the things that work. Like a walk in nature.
It's just like a walk in the park.
All right. Well, thank you, Joel, for coming in this week. Thank you, Moshat, as always. And thank you, science. We'll be right back after this short break. Keep it on the B.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.